Today's April 7th, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro, and I learned something this week. Apparently, when you're working in your yard and you're trimming hedges and you're whatever, don't wipe poison ivy all over your face and back and arms and... Wow. I learned this week, don't mess with poison ivy.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. And just so you know, it's really cold in Colorado still, so I don't have to worry about poison ivy. So to get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, apparently including Ricky's poison ivy, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup.
You're just showing off. I know it's because nothing grows in that barren wasteland that you live in, Jeff.
No, there's cactus out here.
Down with DRM. That's the theme of this week's show. Brian Chaffin is going to be with us in the Context Machine. And we're doing something new this week. You can get a free audiobook from audible.com. Keep listening. That's going to be in just a minute. But let's start with the news.
Well, the week started off with a bang on Monday morning. Apple CEO Steve Jobs held a joint press conference with EMI CEO Eric Nicolai in London. TMO provided live coverage of the press conference, and the link for that is in our show notes. Now, Steve Jobs reiterated his stance against copy protection in music downloads and explained what the iTunes Store is doing to promote interoperability of music files among devices. And starting in May, the iTunes Store will offer EMI's catalog worldwide without copy protection. And those enhanced tracks will also be encoded at 256 kilobits AAC, which is twice the bit rate as current tracks that you purchase at the iTunes Store. They'll cost 30 cents more than the current tracks, and the existing DRM-enabled library will still be available at the standard 99 cents a track. Full album pricing, however, will remain the same. Users will not have to pay a premium for DRM-free full album purchases.
Apple is also offering EMI's DRM-free deal to all music labels, and Mr. Jobs predicted that about half of the 5 million tracks available at the iTunes Store will be DRM-free by the end of 2007 as additional labels come on board. And not surprisingly, EMI is also offering its higher-priced DRM-free music to other resellers as well. So this is not a one-way street in either case.
EMI CEO Eric Nicolai used the occasion to point out that users in several European countries, including Germany, France, the Netherlands, Hungary, and Sweden, want to be able to transfer songs between competing media devices. Now, that statement is no small coincidence considering Norway's pressure on Apple to open music to iTunes to multiple players.
And of course, here it's my duty to point out to all of you that we dealt at length with this issue in a previous show, the February 8th episode, I believe, and the link is there in the show notes. And of course, we're going to get back to a lot of those themes in the Context Machine this week.
And by the way, we also have a forum topic on this subject, whether it's worth the money or not to purchase the more expensive, higher quality audio tracks and to get people's reactions to this generally. That's in our forums, and the link for that is in the show notes.
So normally this is where the Context Machine goes, but we've got something new this week, very exciting. We've got a sponsor for this week's show, which is pretty cool. We got someone helping us pay the bills here, and we really appreciate them getting on board.
Indeed.
Here. So the sponsor this week is Audible.com, and I'm just going to tell you guys very quickly about this. So Audible.com, I don't know, Jeff, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with them, and I think a lot of people out there are. They've been doing this
right.
For a long time. They're by far the big daddy of spoken audio entertainment on the internet. And you can download audiobooks, you can download content from them, and you can play it basically on any device. Pretty much any place that you could listen to this podcast, you could be listening to an audiobook or other spoken word content. And they've got a huge library too. They've got something like 35,000 titles. So they've got every genre, every kind of book. It's a very cool service. And the thing that they're doing that's really neat is that they have this We've got this link up in the show notes. And if you've ever wondered about audiobooks or you thought, well, maybe I should be listening to more of these things, take a look at this link that we've got up at the show notes, macobserver.com/roundup, and it's right there at the top. It's a way that you can go there, and they'll give you a free audiobook. So if you're curious about it and want to try it out, go for it. Download that free book and take a look. It's a cool service.
That's very cool. I've used Audible before, and I've had really good luck with it. Had I known they were going to be a sponsor, I could have waited a couple years to download those books. Oh.
All right. So go check that out. Get a free audiobook, which is cool. And they're helping us out over here paying the bills, and we really appreciate that. And so they're taking care of us. You guys go ahead and take care of them. Take a look at that free audiobook. Take a look at that link. And of course, the only way that you can get that free book is to go through the link. So make sure you visit the show notes to do that. MacObserver.com/roundup. And with that out of the way, we'll get into the context machine. And getting into the context machine, we've got Brian Chavin on the horn with us. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's always good to be here.
So let's the three of us get into all of this. I want to start by backing up and talking, just reminding people what we talked about the last time we talked about this on the show, which was back in February when Steve Jobs' open letter to the music industry came out. And the things we were talking about then, we were saying essentially there are three reasons why Apple went and did all of this. The first one is that they've concluded that they can make money no matter what they're doing. With DRM, without DRM, regardless of how that agreement works, they're going to go and make money on the iTunes Store. The other reason that they went and did it, we were saying, is because it's a relationship with consumers thing. They wanted to polish up their brand, make sure that people didn't perceive them as part of the problem that DRM presents to consumers. And then finally, there's this whole wrinkle with the situation in Europe and open music formats and making sure that everyone can play music that they download from various stores on various devices. And we were saying the last time we went through this that this letter that Steve Jobs wrote was part of a process of laying out the public version of the legal argument that they're going to end up making in Europe. So I kind of want to wander through these things one by one and talk about them and see how Apple did. So number one, let's talk a little bit about money, Apple making money. Brian, let's start with you. Is Apple going to continue to make money from this deal?
Well, of course. And now they'll make a little bit more.
And they'll make more, presumably, because of the pricing structure, right? Now, correct. We don't know anything about the details of where that extra 30 cents goes. Does it all go to EMI? Does Apple get some of it?
Well, I think the one thing that we can be sure of is that very little of it will go to the artist. And I mean that seriously, even though it might sound like I'm being a smartass. I imagine that that's going to be the case. Most of the money will go to the labels. I imagine that Apple will continue to make a similar percentage to what they've been making, which is somewhere between 20% and 30%, depending on who you ask. And they'll continue to probably make that same percentage. That would be my educated guess.
And Jeff, when you follow the money here, is there anything else? Is there any subtlety here, or is it just 30 cents and Apple is going to split it in some percentage with the labels and they're going to go buy a sandwich?
A sandwich. I'm sure it'll be a very tasty sandwich, too. Now, I think Brian hit it right that it's going to split out probably along the lines of percentages that it already is with the 99-cent tracks. And I'm going to say that Brian's perspective on how much of this is going back to the artists is probably spot on. I don't expect this to benefit artists. This is going to benefit the labels.
All right.
So, I mean, the artists might make a penny or two in addition per track, but they're not going to be making the lion's share of this by any stretch of the imagination. The folks that make the money on these downloads are the labels. The artists, by and large, are paid the same paltry amount that they were paid or still are paid with CD sales, where the bulk of the cost of a CD is going through middlemen and production and inventory and all these other costs associated with the physical product. The labels have been making out like bandits on the downloads and not the artists. And I just, that's not going to change with this deal.
Now, one thing that I noticed when Steve Jobs was giving his part of the EMI speech, he actually said that the music download industry is almost pure profit. And I don't think he said that just because it sounded like a fun thing to say. I think that was strategically placed in the middle of his speech. And I think that's a lead up to when Apple has to potentially deal with Norway or other EU countries on licensing.
Well, and with Apple dealing with the labels themselves for renewing licensing.
Yes. So, coming out of his mouth pre-planned, like just about everything else that comes out of Steve Jobs' mouth when he's on stage in a public event, let's talk a little bit about brand value here. Apple is, because Steve Jobs controls all the things he says very closely, as does everyone else who talks to the press from that company, they're very good at burnishing their public image. Does this, when you look at the media coverage, the coverage that we gave them and the coverage that they got broadly in the mainstream media, who comes out ahead here? Does Apple look like the good guy in this deal?
I'll just assume you toss that to me because I just did. Apple certainly comes out looking good in this. I think EMI comes out looking good in this, especially if you look at the reactions of the other labels. As we covered in as Business Week covered, we actually put some coverage up on these comments also at iPod Observer. But EMI and Apple are definitely looking both proactive and, like they're wanting to actually take into consideration what the consumers want. And that's certainly a good thing for both companies to do.
Yes, and Apple, or Steve Jobs, he really, I think, threw down the gauntlet for the other labels because he said in so many words, EMI is now a leader in the industry, everyone else is a follower, and they get to choose when they decide to follow.
And he did say, I mean, it was a pretty bold thing for Steve Jobs to say, I expect that half of our library will be DRM-free or will be available DRM-free by the end of the year. I mean, that's not EMI's tracks. That's other people that he's expecting to come along on this ship.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, some will have to. Actually, they'll all eventually have to if this proves to be popular. If people are going to pay the extra money for DRM-free downloads at higher quality, all the labels will have to follow suit, including the ones who just don't get it when it comes to DRM, which is roughly all of them, except it would seem EMI.
And it is. I mean, just judging from the reactions, for example, in the forums, something like 70% of people in that poll, that straw poll that you put up, Jeff, some outrageous percentage of at least TMO visitors or TMO forum visitors are inclined to go for the DRM-free tunes, particularly album downloads. Presumably this will pump album downloads as well because the albums didn't change in price.
You know, I was actually surprised with the results. I expected it would be closer to maybe 50-50, but it sure looks like an overwhelming number of our readers are really interested in the $1.29 song purchase.
And so it does look like Apple comes out looking pretty good. And quickly, I want to get to this, and then we can wander into some of the other issues. We talked about in this previous show about Apple wanting to lay out the public version of this argument that they're going to have to make, the legal argument that they're going to have to make in Europe. And the strain of that argument that Steve Jobs made was essentially, we can't share FairPlay because it makes it too easy to crack. And so it's the responsibility of the labels to remove DRM from this system. It's something that we, Apple, can't do anything about. Brian, does that hold water? I mean, do these events, the events of the past week, the deal with the EMI, does that help, hurt, or not change the how easy it's going to be for Apple to make that legal argument?
Well, let's actually step back just a little bit from that question, and let's look at the way that various European governments and the EU itself are attacking Apple and iTunes. They want Apple to remove, they want actually Apple to allow other people to license FairPlay. And really what they should be doing is demanding that the DRM be removed, that they really want to get at the root of the problem, which is a lack of interoperability. Let's look at DRM itself. It's got to go. It's, I mean, DRM is a very, very bad thing, but these governments have all been focusing on Apple's role. And in Apple's sin here, of course, has been the mere fact that that they've had success. The interesting thing to me about the way the European government organizations have been going after Apple is that Apple hasn't done anything to lock other people out of the market. Anybody and everybody can strike a deal, put an online music store on, and sell tunes, and let them work on whatever it is that they want to work on. As a matter of fact, many companies have. Yet they all stink. It's in the marketplace, they have failed. So Apple is effectively being attacked here for being successful, whereas comparing that to the EU's assault on, lame assault on Microsoft, Microsoft had very specifically done everything that it could to lock out competitors in the computer market. So it's not analogous to the EU's assault on both of those companies is not analogous. So what we have in this situation is the problem being people not being able to take their music wherever they want. And the problem with that is DRM, period. Not that Apple's not allowing other people to use FairPlay.
I believe that if we had the consumer ombudsman from Norway, I remember when we were talking about this before, the argument that I recall coming out of Norway, after Steve Jobs put this letter up, they basically said, look, we're fielding consumer complaints. Consumers have a problem with how they're getting stuff and what they can do with the stuff they buy. And so the reaction, the public reaction from the consumer ombudsman was, it's all well and good. It's terrific. In fact, they said, great, Apple's or happy to get rid of DRM. They're going to support it if it's possible. But if the labels don't allow this to happen, then it's still Apple's responsibility to deal with the consumer problem that exists because they're the one that provides this consumer experience.
It's a nonsense argument in my from my perspective in that the consumers don't have to buy their music online. They can go buy CDs and they can do whatever they want to with this music. They can go buy music that they've downloaded elsewhere, and they can even burn their downloaded iTunes tunes to CDs and re-rip them if that's what they want, although there are issues of quality loss in doing that process. Again, the problem here is DRM. And DRM has just got to go. DRM is the least consumer-friendly thing ever. So the various governments that are going after Apple need to be going after the labels. They need to be demanding that the labels not cripple their product with DRM. And that's just the way it's got to be.
All right. And Jeff, I want to give you a quick moment to deal with this. Do you believe that the stuff from this week has any impact on Apple's ability to argue legally in Europe? To you know, watch its back in terms of DRM.
Oh, absolutely. What Apple has done is start setting up a framework so that if they end up in court, they will have all of these tangible little things that they can hold up and say, look, we're doing everything we can. Our hands are tied. If you want to really deal with this, go after the labels. There's nothing else we can do. Now, Norway's view on this is, well, you need to do something. You're the end dealer distributing this music. Therefore, by our laws, you are the person or entity that's responsible for this, which
so it sounds like they might be able to stand up and say, well, look, we're doing something about it. We struck this deal with EMI. We're working as hard as we can to really solve the problem, and we're solving it in a more fundamental way than the just sharing FairPlay. We're actually getting rid of the DRM.
Right, which I think is a much better way to deal with this issue. I agree with Brian. DRM is just a nasty, ugly mess, And it doesn't do anything to stop people, really, from copying music. All it does is become a thing, this nasty little boil that treats honest, legitimate music buyers as if they are criminals. The assumption is that everyone is stealing music, which to me is not the right way to go about this.
All right.
And let's look at the a quote from the EMI's president in the announcement, and I've got to find it here. Let's see here. I had it. It was just on the tip of my fingers. I'm sure we'll just edit this right out. So what he said was, we take the view that we just have to trust customers. Some will disappoint us. The idea is to give them the best music experience to grow sales and not diminish them. That's one of the first sane things to come out of a major label's executive's mouth that I've heard in, a decade or more.
I heard him say that, I'm glad I was sitting down because I would have fallen over.
Yeah, I mean, it is a dash of sanity in an industry that is mired by idiocy, stupidity, blindness, and self-destructive urges. You know, everything that the labels have been doing, almost everything I should say, has been wrong. They've cut down on the music, the number of acts that are being offered. They've raised prices. They've tried to cripple our CDs. They've made downloads be crippled by DRM. They're wrong.
They've sued 12-year-olds for file sharing and so forth.
It's
crazy 12-year-olds.
Let's talk about this. A dash of sanity in a sea of lunatics. Brian, I believe on this show and certainly elsewhere, you've written and said on many occasions that you don't buy stuff from iTunes because you don't like the DRM and you think that the audio quality is not sufficient. So let's talk about those two things. Two big things have changed, right? They offer double audio quality and they offer no DRM. So I wanted to give you a chance to update all of those people who hang on your every opinion to inform their buying decisions for music.
And they are legion.
What has changed, if anything, in your opinion?
Well, so the kinds of things that I do buy from iTunes are when I need a single song now. For instance, when the Macworld All-Stars are getting ready for their annual rehearsal before their annual gig. And there's a particular tune that we're going to cover, then I'll often buy that from iTunes because it's going to be a quick download and I don't really care about the quality and I'll, you know, it's a single song. I don't mind the DRM. I don't tend to buy any full albums from iTunes unless it's something that, I think the first and last album that I bought from iTunes was Secret Machines, because it wasn't available on CD yet. So what's changed, or what will change in May, is having higher quality songs without DRM. So yeah, I will actually be truly inclined as a consumer to truly do some shopping on iTunes with that in mind. Of course, that said, the price is still outrageous. As Steve Jobs noted, the downloads are almost pure profit, and I think that the songs need to come down below 50 cents a piece, going to 29, even with the audio quality, even with that being settled by DRM, is a step in the wrong direction, price-wise. But for the first time, I would certainly consider buying something, especially a full album, at the same price.
Yeah, Jeff, is this likely to change your buying habits at all?
Yes, it will. Now, I buy more from the iTunes store than Brian does, and it's for the convenience factor. And I do like Brian. I'll go, there'll be a specific song I want right now, so I'll go buy it. I have bought a couple albums off the store, and it's because it was convenient, and it was because it was also for albums that I couldn't find anywhere else.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, which, by the way, let me point out here that at some point or another, we should have everything that was ever released in any form whatsoever that still survives. That kind of stuff can be made available on downloads as a download for you know, almost no cost whatsoever. And so, you know, those are also the kinds of things that I personally would buy. All sorts of out-of-print stuff that you just can't get, and it's not profitable to put out on CD.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
And I want the one of the other issues here that is interesting to me. I remember, I don't know if any of you saw this when it happened. Dave Slusher, who's the host of the Evil Genius Chronicles and blogs, and very interesting guy, and every now and then will say things that are just bang on, excellent ways of perceiving a situation. He had a blog posting a little while ago that Dave Hamilton pointed out to me, and he basically said to Apple, just do it. Just go ahead. After this open letter from Steve Jobs came out, he said, hey, you are saying, Steve Jobs is saying, we don't like DRM, so why don't you just make it possible for anyone who's posting their content on iTunes to do it without DRM? Why did Apple pursue this strategy of making a deal specifically with EMI rather than just making it possible to remove DRM? Brian, why don't you kick off with this one?
So let me make sure that I'm understanding the posit first. I am a label, be it major or independent, or I am an artist that is putting my music on iTunes. And so the suggestion is that Apple make it possible for me just to you know, have a checkbox somewhere where I can say, make my song available
without
DRM, catalog available without DRM.
Yeah.
I would imagine that such an ad hoc approach doesn't sit well with Steve Jobs. I mean, my personal gut reaction to that is that Steve Jobs would much rather have this in place institutionally than to allow some people to do it and other people not. Not to mention the fact that it doesn't help Apple for only the independent artists to be doing this. They really need the major labels to come on board, and it's going to be a lot harder for the major labels to come on board if the major labels themselves don't come on board. It's sort of a catch-22. And now we have this agreement with EMI, which actually, you know, is that first step that was actually needed for the other major labels to follow suit. And so my belabored point is that I imagine that what we're seeing unfold is simply the way Steve Jobs sees business.
I feel like part of this is also the marquee deal. Apple is very big on the marquee deal.
You think?
Really?
You know, we're gonna release a cell phone and we're gonna make it exclusively available on the biggest carrier in the United States with the biggest network and the most customers. Bam! You know, write it on a billboard. My sense when I read that was it's not that there's. There's an argument for it's too confusing. There's going to be no order about it. This is going to be pretty confusing, right? There's going to be some tiny subset of the total music library is going to be available without DRM. But it does have that marquee feel. He could go to London and stand up at a press conference and say, this is how it's going to work. We've solved the problem.
Okay,
yeah,
well said. Was there a question there?
No, there wasn't. I just felt like the silence helped reinforce my point. Let's talk for a second about independent labels, and let's just spend a moment on this. Brian, again, I'll toss this one to you. How is this different for independent labels now? Now that this is presumably going to be available for them to make the same decision, where do you think independent labels are going to fall with this?
I would think that the vast majority of independent labels would be all over having similar deals in place with Apple. That would be my educated guess on this. Really, it's except for the price issue, it's a big win for just about everybody. And the independent labels, who are a lot less mired in their own dinosaurness, I think have understood these things from the get-go. For instance, very few of them, if any, I don't know of a single one, but I suppose there may be one out there, have tried to cripple their own CDs with DRM. And if you look at eMusic, which is the only place that you can go where everything doesn't have DRM, but it's all independent labels, independent music and independent labels, obviously they're already on board, or at least more of the independent labels are more are, you know, one or two or five steps ahead of the majors on this issue.
All right, and the last thing that I want to touch on here, and I'll toss this one to Jeff to begin, let's talk briefly about movies. Steve Jobs basically punted in this press conference. I guess someone asked him about movies, DRM on movies, and he essentially said, look, DVDs, he said, never have there been movies sold without DRM. That, of course, is not true. VHS never had DRM, but I think the point is that DVDs currently have DRM. You're not allowed to copy them freely and play them freely.
Not only that, it's actually illegal for you and I to make copies of our own DVDs.
Yeah, how about that?
In America, in the land of the free, in the home of the brave.
Thanks to the DMCA, what is that, Digital Millennium Copyright Act?
Copyright Act, yes.
All right, and...
Actually, it's not illegal for us to let me be clear on that, lest we start getting letters. It's not illegal for us to make backups. It's illegal for us to bypass the encryption in order to make a backup.
So, right, yeah. Now there's a catch-22 for you. Jeff, again, let's start with you. What's the state of things here? Is Steve Jobs putting this off, or do you think that Steve Jobs or Apple has some inclination to keep movie DRM, where at least apparently they don't seem to be inclined to keep music DRM?
Well, I think that it has more to do with Steve Jobs doesn't like to lose. Therefore, he will pick the battles he knows he can win. And right now, DRM in movies is not something that he's going to be able to win. So just throw out the line, hey, this is how it's always been, that's how it'll always be, and move on. And later on, maybe he'll decide it is a battle he can take on and win, and then he will. But for now, I think he's content leaving things as they are, and he looks like a good guy as much as he can.
Ryan?
Well, I think it's even a little deeper than that, although all of Jeff's points are not surprisingly great ones. There is not a vast market of devices that will play downloaded movies. There is a vast market, even if the iPod dominates it, there is a vast market for devices that will play music. And no one's clamoring to have DRM-free downloads because, you know, very few people are downloading or buying movies through iTunes or buying TV through iTunes, etc. So, I mean, there's no pressure on that industry at all. And on top of that, the movie labels are at least as stupid. Sorry, the movie studios are at least as stupid as the music labels when it comes to things like, you know, piracy and having DRM on their products in the first place. You know, remember, this is the industry that tried to sue VHS machines out of existence because it was going to put them out of business. Of course, they make more money off VHS today than they do off of the theaters. But, you know, hey, that's just nitpicking, isn't it? Anyway, so it's not so much a battle that he can't win now. It's just a completely separate battle. It's a completely separate battle with no pressure whatsoever for any kind of resolution.
And it is worth pointing out, and you say that there's no one clamoring for it. Music was kind of at a tipping point. It has been kind of at a tipping point because of Apple's dominance in digital downloads and declining sales. And people have become very savvy about digital music because there are so many iPods out there and because so many people now store their music digitally. So it does seem like that, because that's developed and has reached kind of critical mass much better, and because Apple is so much more powerful in the music industry, that this is the battle that they're really focused on and geared up to do something about.
Well, you also have to keep in mind Apple's in a really good position to take control and help push where the market is going for the music industry. When Apple stepped up to the plate with the iTunes Store, they were coming in to a market that that had a buzzword that used to always be attached to Apple's name, beleaguered. And Apple was the go-to company that came in and really helped the music industry out when they needed it. Okay, they still really need it, and they're not getting how to fix it. But that's a whole nother show. But the point is, Apple doesn't have that same clout in the movie industry as it does or did in the music industry.
Yeah, iTunes is, I think, the biggest distributor of TV shows and movies, but, you know, it's biggest as in no one else is around and really doing it, and no one really cares.
And they could sell digital downloads
and still be the top.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they've actually been doing quite well in this market, but it's a tiny, tiny percentage of the overall movie industry. And it just, like I said, it's a totally separate issue with no pressure.
And so the game was to keep everything focused on music and the deal with EMI. Go for the banner, man. They're all about the marquee deal.
Yes. Yeah. I don't even think it's fair. I don't think that they were trying to necessarily just keep it focused there. I think that this question from this reporter where he was asked, where Steve punted, was it's an obvious question, but it's a pointless question. It's, you know, not the same thing, and they're having a press conference with EMI, not with Universal Studios. I mean, that is a separate issue, and there's no movement, there's no pressure from any governments, there's no pressure from consumers even to get iTunes downloaded movies to be able to play on, you know, Rio video devices.
All right, so
people still have those.
I don't even know if one exists, to be honest, but it's the first thing that popped in my head.
So digital downloads are still too expensive, but Brian will now occasionally be buying albums a little bit more frequently.
If I was going to buy something and I had the option of buying it DRM-free at a higher quality, I will pay the extra 30 cents, but I'm not happy about that price. If the music industry wants to reverse its falling declines, they have to lower their prices. There is too much competition for consumers' money today, for consumers' entertainment dollars, for them to charge the kind of outrageous fees that they're charging for music, especially for digital downloads. Their only hope to have any relevancy in the future is to lower their prices drastically.
Wham! And that has to be the final word right there. Brian, thanks again for coming on the show. If you have comments about any of this, of course, go ahead and send them to us, roundup@macobserver.com. Brian, it's great to have you back. It's been a little while since we've had you on the show, but
it's always a blast.
Good to be back. And I have a feeling you'll be seeing more of me.
We're not going to do a product roundup this week, so we'll just move right on, and I'll say, and that's the news. Thanks for listening to the Apple Weekly Report.
Our content, of course, is written by the fine staff of the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom for TMO. Thanks to Audible.com for sponsoring the show. Again, we really appreciate it. Go to the show notes. Check out that free audiobook. Go ahead and download that thing and check out their service. That's all I got this week.
So go grab your Audible book and stay subscribed.
Until next week, everyone, we'll see you online.
Wittgenstein was a beer schwein. It was just a Schlegel.
A Schlegel. Yep, that's it.
They actually use Schlegel twice, don't they?
They do.